Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Ah, yes. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is a Saturday. It's my whole, probably just like you, just completely off because July 4th, yesterday felt like a Saturday. It was a Friday. Today's Saturday. I guess it feels like a Saturday, another Saturday. But there you go. Red, white, and blues. As you can see, Justin Verlander again. Winless, walking off the field there in minor league Sacramento. Episode 183. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a ton to get to today, even though it is a Saturday edition of the show. Let me make sure that we're up and rolling on all of our places that we need to be up and rolling. But it is great to be joined by you this morning. Thank you for joining us. Let me get all straight here on the screen and everything will be good. It is episode 183. How was the fourth? The 11-2 loss to the A's. Verlander remains winless, and he was terrible. Let's be honest, he's 42, and he's struggling. Bailey, what would you say you do here? Four strikeouts, the golden sombrero, and the pop-up that he misjudged. That's not good. There's starting to be some rumblings, by the way, that his defense, which, again, when robo-umps come, which is sooner rather than later, what's going to be his value? Not very much. Chapman is back today. Apparently a trade is needed. They just need some kind of shot in the arm for this team because they are struggling so much. And it's almost like, okay, they need the bats. And then all of a sudden the pitching is not getting it done. And it's a complete joke. And we saw last night with Mason Black, we've seen with Carson Seymour, they just don't have any organizational depth in that rotation. And we didn't talk yesterday because it was July 4th and I was busy stuffing my face and drinking and killing my liver once again. But, Robbie Ray made a case for the All-Star game, and they may have two All-Star starters, and the rest of the rotation is pretty much so we'll see. JK's latest, I got that. There is one specific team, I'm telling you, that is actually the great trade partner for the Warriors and could bail them out on this JK thing, so we'll get into that conversation. The 49ers soon, and the reason I write that up on the chalkboard today for episode 183, I'm not going to sit here and talk about the Giants sucking all the time every day. That's no fun for you. That's no fun for me. If they don't get it going, it's not like I'm going to turn my back on them, but I have dedicated a lot of airtime to the Giants when they were playing good baseball. And I'm not going down with the ship. Once the Niners training camp hits, I'm going to be going down there every single day. And I'm not going to dwell on what the Giants are doing because ratings have shown and ratings. And I was on the flagship of the Giants for years and years and years that when they start not playing well and people get frustrated, they just tune out. So that's just the way it's going to be. So we'll get into that. Lots of 49ers as we continue to get closer and closer. It is July 5th, so now we start turning the corner going, okay, now we can start looking at training camp, which is only a few weeks away. Random stuff, and I got some really great Caboose Pistol stuff for you today on this Saturday. Let's take roll call, for episode 183. Before I do that, do remember that today we are on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. We are also on the Bay Area Sports Collective. You see that B down there? That is the Bay Area Sports Collective. So that is a collective, thank you very much, of shows in the Bay Area, Bay Area Sports Collective. A lot of ex-KNBRers, Polymax Particles with Creative Tony, who was our creative director on KNBR. So all the frilly, cool stuff, not commercials, but all that other stuff. KNBR, the sports leader. Like he would make all those things. So that's Creative Tony. Obviously, Tom Tolbert is here. Rod Brooks is here. With Rod Brooks and Quality Hang is Rod Brooks' show. And also Amy G, the great Amy G, who has a great podcast / YouTube channel talking about women in sports, which is awesome. And then we've got former Giant Jeremy Affeld, who just tells it like it is. So make sure that you are subscribed to the Bay Area Sports Collective in addition to John Lund Unleashed. And, of course, we got to tell you all about my good friend right there. Click the QR code right there. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. If you can't get to that QR code, which you can, get to that QR code right there, and it'll take you straight to the website. My wife is feeling great. I've told you the shoulder, the elbow, her feet now feeling great. We were talking about it yesterday over July 4th. As a matter of fact, the conversation came up how good she's feeling and she can do all sorts of stuff. And we were being all active yesterday, and Dr. Riopelle and the stem cell has been absolutely phenomenal for her. Dr. Riopelle was telling me the other day, was in the office, and he goes, "Hey, now be careful what you say. Look, man, I have been witness to, I'm not going to say a miracle because that's too strong of a word, but it's damn close. She just feels great nowadays. And it's all because of the stem cell that Dr. Riopelle is doing with her. He's one of the first in California to do it. So make sure that you check it out. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. If you can't get to that QR code, which you should to make an appointment, what you can do is you can just look him up. Your favorite search engine, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, right there in San Ramon. No brainer if you're in the East Bay. If you're not, I'm telling you, make the drive over because he does that. The other day, like I told you, I got my update on my low T. So I do that every 4 months, do a quick blood test. He's like, okay, this is where you need to be. Pumps me up to that spot and I feel great. Metabolism's faster. Mood is better. Energy is much better. Like I said, low T, I believe in it because I've been doing it for years and I've been doing it with Dr. Riopelle for about a year now because I don't have to go in every single week like I used to have to do. So it is awesome. And not only does he do those procedures, he does many, many more. Men, women, makes you feel great, look great. Just go to the website and check everything out. It's Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, fine sponsor of the program. All right. Thanks for getting up on a Saturday. Much appreciated. Maybe you have a July 4th hangover. By the way, may I suggest, I know this doesn't look like much now, it might look gross, but that is, I took my extra coffee from yesterday, put it in the fridge, and this morning, because I knew I was going to need it, I made myself an iced Bailey's and coffee, iced coffee. It is outstanding, along with a giant water, and things are great. I am feeling really good today. So, hey, I'm just telling you, like, the hot coffee's nice, but I don't know what it is about an iced coffee when you're just not feeling quite yourself, and then you dump a little Bailey's in there and whatever else, you know, whatever kind of things you like in there. I'm feeling a lot better already. It's beautiful. So anyway, hope you had a wonderful fourth. In fact, let's start there. Rather than starting with the 11-2 loss to the A's, how was your fourth? I had a great day. Just had a great day. After roll call, I'll tell you about it. But Tommy is here this morning. Joy, it is great to see you. Jake, good morning, my friend. Yeah, I guess the only good thing is Jake points out, what did the Dodgers lose? 18-1 to the Astros at home yesterday. I guess that you can share in misery, and that's what we do as fans. It's like, okay, our team didn't win, but how did my rival do? Oh, they got blown out? Okay, I can live with that. Christopher, it is great to see you. Oh, you went to the game last night. Very cool, man. Like I said this yesterday, if you haven't been up there, I know that the media is bitching and moaning. I know the players are bitching and moaning. I know it's not the greatest place for the A's to be. There's no doubt about it. I agree with 100% all of that. But in terms of just going to a ball game with an open mind as a fan, I've gone up there twice and enjoyed both times. And the ticket prices for me, and I know that they were jacking them up yesterday, but I bought cheap ones. The first game I went to against the Cubs was third row down the third baseline. It was $39. So if you don't go to a, like a Giants A's game and as a Giants fan, like, why else would I go? I get it. But I had a good time, and that's just me, you know. It's kind of, you know, to each their own, and everybody else, everybody get to live their life. I'm not going to be influenced by someone who says that the ballpark sucks. Look, I'm not the umpire who had to run all the way out into center field to get the gear on once the home plate umpire got hurt. I'm not, you know, Mark Kotze, who when I was at the Phillies A's game got booted and had to do the walk of shame all the way down. I'm not the one who if I have to go to the bathroom, have to go all the way out to center field. Like those are issues. You know, it feels like a spring training game. I mean, those are issues. The A's shouldn't be there, all that kind of stuff. But from a standpoint of a fan and fandom only, I've enjoyed it when I've gone up there. So that's just all. I can only base it on what I do. Hello, the 1-4-20. No hangover here, just a little cloudy. That's a great way to put it. But that goes away quickly. Nothing like a hangover. Good morning, people. Yeah, exactly. It just, look, man, we're all veterans here, you know. I don't think there's any rookies in this room. And the thing is, and even if there are, that's wonderful. Let me give you a little advice. I know this is kind of after the fact, but, you know, lots of water before you go to bed. If you've overindulged, you know, go to bed at a decent hour, lots of water, pop a couple of aspirin in the morning. You might feel a certain way. First thing you do, again, hit the water is what I like to do. I like to get a nice breakfast in me. Like I said, it doesn't have to be you, but for me, a nice iced coffee, maybe a little hair of the dog, hit it again. A little more water throughout the day. Get active. Don't just sit around and let it catch you. you know, certain foods, a lot of fruit, banana, make yourself a nice smoothie in the morning, lots of vitamins and protein and all that kind of stuff. And boom, you're good to go, man. That's just me. Everybody's kind of got their thing. And believe me, if you could, I think the number one, if you could come up with, I think this would be number one on the list. If you could come up with a hangover cure, you'd be a multi-billionaire, wouldn't you? Like if you just had a pill or something or an Alka-Seltzer type, because everybody has their thing. Like I haven't had like a really massive raging hangover for a long time. You just kind of get these little ones because as you get older, you get smarter. Like, okay, this is my line. I'm good. Like I don't want to be totally wasteful tomorrow. So I'm like at my line and I stop. And then I'll start sucking down water. And so I haven't had like this ridiculous type of one in a long time, maybe years. Because I kind of know now, okay, I'm at my line. I feel good. Why would I need to go over that line? When I was younger, it was like right through the stop sign, right? But nowadays, I just don't do that. I get to my point. I'm buzzed pleasantly. And then that's it. And I'm not hungover the next day, at least not to a level where it's like, okay, I can't fix it real quick. But like back in the day, it was like, you know, 4 Alka-Seltzers, Gatorade, bananas, like whatever it was that you did. I'm trying to think what else I would have, like a breakfast sandwich, right? Some really good breakfast sandwich. And then I would get active. I'd go out and I'd go on a hike. It'd be hot out and just sweat that thing out. By mid-afternoon, you're like, okay, I'm ready to go again. I'm good. Because, I mean, in college, it was like you had to. Like, what do you mean you're down? You're not down. You're going. Let's go. I've told you this story before, but like I was the social chairman of our fraternity. So like Friday night, we'd have a rager. And then I told you, I went to Utah State. So Saturday, they'd have this thing called Polar Bear Club at this bar. And they had a deck. And it was freezing and snowing. And the colder it was, the cheaper it was. They had burgers and beer. Big frosty mugs of beer that you had to sit outside with gloves on and drink. And so you drank at like, you know, 10 in the morning again. And then you had another party that night. And then Sunday was, I don't know, you try to catch up on school, but mainly you just watch football. But, you know, you had to keep going. Like, you blew out. It was like, that's not the way. Not anymore. Anyway, I hope everybody had a wonderful fourth, no matter what you did. I watched baseball. We made a tri-tip, which was amazing. Put a bunch of sausages on the grill. Had all that. Nice salad along with it. Ate outside. Was wonderful. But like I said, had some cocktails, but not crazy. Made like a July 4th cocktail. This may sound crazy to you, or you could make fun of it. But it was, we took a High Noon seltzer that was like a watermelon flavor and used that as a mixer with grapefruit vodka and a splash of, what was it? Chambord, which is like a raspberry liqueur, and then put a little soda on top of that and mix that with like, you know, some fruit. Man, it was, that thing went down like fast, super fast. So I had a few of those. Was kind of un-American because I didn't have a beer yesterday. But anyway. It was a good time had by all. Let's see. Konnichiwa. Very nice to see you, Joji. Very nice to see you. Absolutely. Let's see. My family is all spread out. Oh, that's a bummer, man. Let's see here. Oh, supers. Have not hit up a super yet today. Remember, if you want your questions, comments, or thoughts, 100% on the show today. Like Chris. Wonderful Chris. I didn't get to see Joy last night at the game, but I did see Peter King with the same. Is that right? You saw Peter King at the game? That's cool. Yeah, his family lives in San Francisco. We used to have him on weekly in KNBR for a couple of years in a row. And he was always really interesting. He would always, you know, it was good because I think it was with Tom and we used to talk about beer with him all the time. And he'd go on these tangents about beer for 10 minutes. And it's like, dude, we got you for like 15. Like beer's cool and everything, but we were trying to get NFL news out of him. And it was like, what the hell, bro? Anyway, very cool, man. Yeah, I'd like to know more about the game. Like I said, I've enjoyed it up there. They had a packed house. Looked pretty cool. I did see the Hershiser comment last night, made a comment that Houston looked like they knew it was coming, basically accusing them of cheating. I think he was kidding around, but they got beat 18-1. Like, God, you know, it happens, man. They don't have to be cheating to beat you, even though you're the Dodgers. Let's see. Good to see you, champ. Hello, champ. Let's see here. Mason Black is trash. Yeah, that's a problem. Like I said, I do the Devers trade 100 out of 100, but the thing they lost in the short term is, and again, Harrison wasn't pitching great, but Harrison was depth, you know, Hicks was depth. They weren't great. I'm just saying they were depth. Hicks could have helped the bullpen a little bit so we wouldn't have to see guys like Joey Lucchesi, and Harrison helped so we wouldn't have to see guys like Carson Seymour and Mason Black, but that's what it is. And man, when he hits the ball, Devers last night, when he hit that double, I mean, man, his bat's just different, man. I know he's not hitting the way he's going to hit as a Giant. his bat is just different. You know, when you try to describe to people what the best hitters in the game look like, just watch him. Like when he get, I mean, it's just like, poof, a double he hit last night was a rocket. Just a rocket, man. All right, let's get to things. Good morning to everybody. If I haven't gotten to you this morning, I absolutely will. And again, like I said, if you'd like to get your questions, comments, and thoughts 100% on the show, just hit me up with a super. That would be great. Yeah, the A's hitting, they've done a nice job. You got to be honest. The offensive side, they need some pitching. J.P. Sears pitched well last night, but man, they've got some nice young hitting on that ball club. There's no doubt about it. All right, let's hit things. How was the fourth? 11-2 loss to the A's. Let me pop up the box score. There's just nothing good to say about the whole thing unless you're an A's fan. From a Giants perspective, it was atrocious. The pitching was terrible. Let me see the box score. Where do I have the dang box score? Oh, maybe I don't have it. Maybe that's good. I don't need to have the box score. You saw it. Oh, here it is right here. It was just atrocious. Justin Verlander didn't have it all night long. There's been some games where you thought, man, Verlander pitched better and deserved a better outcome. He didn't last night. I mean, he barely got through 6 earned runs, and it wasn't cheap. He just absolutely got his ass kicked on the mound last night. It was terrible. Mason Black had to just wear it because they're like, we're not going to screw our bullpen. And Robbie Ray gave the bullpen a night off the night before, and we'll get to that in a minute because we didn't have a show yesterday because of the four, so we'll hit that. But Mason Black had to wear it. He's not ready for the major leagues. Ryan Walker, like I said, I don't even want to use him in high leverage situations anymore. Give J.P. Sears some credit. He pitched well last night, so I don't want to minimize that. But same old shit as far as the Giants are concerned. Runners in scoring position, 0-for-11. They actually, when this was a game in the mid-innings, they had a couple opportunities to get in this game, and they didn't do it. So 0-for-11. Look at that. Flores 0-for-2. Alcantara 0-for-2. Devers 0-for-1. Ramos 0-for-1. Bailey 0-for-2. Bailey's so fucking bad. I'm sorry, man, if that offends you, but he is so fucking bad. He's getting to the end of his rope in terms of, man, he's so good defensively. His offense is atrocious. It's like he hits like a pitcher. I'll explain that in just a second. Lee goes 0-for-3. So 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position. Look at Oakland. 7-for-17 with runners in scoring position versus 0-for-11 for the Giants. There's your ball game. Good night, everybody. Wisely got a late one, whatever. None of that mattered. They were just getting it handed to him. And Verlander sucked last night. I mean, there's been nights this year where you say, hey, Verlander deserved a better fate. In fact, he did last time out, should have got the win, didn't. This was not that. He was absolutely terrible. So they get beat 11-2, and it wasn't even that close. Let me just point out Bailey for just a second. 0-for-4, 4 strikeouts. 0-for-4, 4 strikeouts. He's down to 191. What Bailey looks like, we don't need to look at that box score anymore. Just brutal. What Bailey looks like at the plate right now, he looks like a pitcher. And what I mean by that is a lot of pitchers, when they used to go to the plate back in the day, pitchers actually hit kids. When pitchers would hit, a lot of times they just were indifferent. Like they just wanted to get back to the dugout. Now, some of them like Madison Bumgarner wanted to take their hacks, or Zach Greinke, or they, you know, there was a handful of guys who wanted to take their hacks. Lincecum, he just wanted to get back to the dugout and not get hit with a pitch or do something stupid. So that's what Bailey looks like. More times than not, Bailey swings at the first pitch. More times than not, it's some soft fly ball or soft ground ball. Last night, he didn't have a clue at the plate. He strikes out 4 times, and then on top of it, he had a pop fly. He had a foul ball that, you know, didn't decide the game. They're getting their ass kicked, but he missed it. It went behind him. The wind took it behind him a little bit, and he missed it. And it was just completely, even Kruko, who rarely has a negative word to say about the Giants, even Kruko said, that's embarrassing for a major league catcher. So what would you say you do here, Patrick Bailey? Frame pitches? Wonderful. Martin Maldonado of the Padres can do that for a fraction, you know, of the games played. Put a catcher on the list for the Giants in 2026. They're not going to make a big change this year with Patrick Bailey, and maybe they're going to hope he can come around and be, and I said this yesterday, could Patrick Bailey just be a 240 hitter, 230, 220, hell, 220 hitter in a season with, I don't know, 8 home runs and 58 RBIs and an OPS of like 675? Like, that's not good. But it's just be on the like bottom end of, you know, average, you know, the top end of bad, something. Right now, you're just, it's so bad that at some point, as good as he is perceived defensively, they're just going to have to say, look, we're going to have to give up something defensively to get some offense in here. We're just not ever going to be good enough. You're not going to ever be good enough in this ballpark to have a catcher that's that bad. You're never going to have a lineup here that is so good like the Dodgers is right now or the Cubs is right now, where you just say, you know what, we can have just a nothing hitting catcher, an 0-for-4 catcher that not only goes 0-for-4 with four strikeouts, but looks like he is completely indifferent at being at the plate. He's just like, whatever. Just and just wants to be out of there. It's just like pitchers used to hit. He's lacking confidence to such a level that he just wants to get out of there. And it doesn't matter, like situationally, he needs a fly ball, doesn't matter, doesn't do it. Like I said, strikes out four times, looks terrible doing it, waving at pitches way out of the zone. His confidence level is so low right now. And they don't have another catcher on the roster, so he's going to keep playing. But in the offseason, and nobody understands, obviously, the importance of defense for a catcher than Buster Posey. But at some point, he's going to sit in that, you know, that was a great piece by John Shea a few weeks ago. He's going to sit in that big old suite that they have, that they knocked out walls, and everybody's going to look together. And at some point, someone's going to turn to Buster and go, Buster, what the fuck? Like, we can't keep doing this. Like, I was watching the Diamondbacks Royals, and they have, you know, obviously their situation, the Royals catching situation. I mean, they've got an all-timer behind there, but then they have another guy too that they're grooming, and they kind of split the catching duties between those two guys. And it's like an embarrassment of riches for what they have. They have two major league catchers who they just kind of rotate, and you know, Salvador Perez is an older guy. So if he's not catching, he's DHing. So, but they've got these two guys, and they can both defend, and they can both hit. And you're just like, man, I was watching that game going, I am so envious of that team. At what point do you just say, Patrick Bailey's a really good defensive catcher, but he just can't hit? We cannot do that. And the Dodgers could. Like, I don't mean just the Dodgers now. They have Will Smith, so it's irrelevant. But my point is that hitters will go there, and they can put together a lineup that can just rake. And the Cubs right now have in a lineup that just rakes. Like, you could have, and that's the kind of ballparks. Like, they'll keep getting hitters there. It's fine. We'll never have a lineup here just because of the ballpark that is going to be so good that you can just go, we'll just put basically a pitcher in the lineup who can't hit whatsoever, but that's okay because the other eight guys or seven of the guys can just rake. It'll never be like that here because of the park. Guys won't come here. Now, this is about as good, like, just on paper. Now, they maybe need a first baseman, second baseman, whatever. I mean, but on paper, this is a pretty decent offense as far as the Giants go. Getting Devers, I'm saying on paper. Adames, getting Chapman back today, by the way, which we'll get into in a second. Ramos is not bad. Lee's a joke. Yastrzemski's having a decent year for him, or maybe an above-average year for him. So, I mean, really, this is not a terrible offensive lineup, at least on paper for the Giants. But when you throw Bailey in there, it's awful. It's just atrocious. And we have to start talking about it because it was, for a while there, it was almost untouchable, especially when Gabe Kapler was the manager and was just like, oh my God, oh, Bailey. I love that guy. And he's licking him like it's your dog, you know, like your dog licks your face in the morning to wake you up. I mean, it's just like enough. And it's to the point where I always keep saying this, it's the at bats. Like, if a guy's going through a rough stretch and you look at the exit velocity rates and you say, hey man, it's just having some bad luck, you can live with that. But if you just watch the bats that Bailey have, he's just indifferent. His confidence is so low that he doesn't even want to be there. He's just swinging. I mean, it's like he'll swing with no legs. Like, he just get me out. Just get me out of here. I just want to go put the gear back on and catch. There's guys like that who have made fine careers as backup catchers, being a defensive replacement late, or having on, you know, a good enough lineup. You know, the Yankees could do it in the day, and they still could. Like, he's got to, the Giants have to find a team for him in the offseason that says, we just need a defensive catcher. We've got enough offensive talent. You know, we need a guy behind the plate that's going to frame pitches, throw guys out. You know, like last night when he dropped that ball, it was like, fuck, you've struck out four times. And you just dropped a pop that 99% of the time you've got to catch. What are you doing? Buster Posey had to be sitting there going, come, what I got to do here? And the thing is, they're going to bring robot umps in. So he's going to be useless. So you might want to trade him before the robot ump comes, because the best thing he does is frame pitches. And once the robot umps come, that's irrelevant. He's got to go. I mean, dude's got to go. I'm sorry, man. He's, you know, good defensive player. That's great. But if you look at any professional league, right, defensive players, they're nice to have. But you've got to, at some point, you just go, I can't just have a defender at that position. And it's just, that's, it's like being in the lineup with the Warriors and you cannot shoot a lick. You cannot shoot a lick. And at some point, they finally just go, we can't have that. Because then, the, you know, they'll slough off that man. They won't cover that man. It's like, remember Tony Allen with Memphis? After a while, I was like, we don't even have to guard Tony Allen. Like, as good as he is defensively, and all of a sudden, Tony Allen was out of the league. And you just, you can't have it just so extreme like that. You're just the defender. Now, the NFL is different. You play defense. But I'm saying, if you're just the defender and you get nothing and you bring nothing to the table other than that, if you're just an offensive guy, right, the NBA, you play no defense, Luka Doncic, but you're just an offensive wizard, you're going to stay in the league. If in baseball you rake 30, 40 home runs and you're the shit defense, you're a DH. But if you're just a defender and that's all you do, they can hang for a while. But Patrick Mailey, to me, at this point, is starting to look like a journeyman catcher who's going to be a defender on a team, who's going to come in late innings. He's not, you can't start him every day. Sorry, I've said this for 10 straight minutes. I'm done with it. But my God, so we just got to get it on the table. You know, because it's almost like he's so good defensively, he's untouchable. Well, not after last night. And it wasn't his, you know, it's not his fault that they lose 11-2. But, I mean, four strikeouts, four non-competitive at-bats, and a dropped pop fly, foul ball. Like, my God, he needs to have the day off today or night off. I haven't seen a lineup. It's probably not out this early because they're doing 7 o'clock games because it's supposed to be hot in Sacramento, but it's not. And this is part of the problem with having baseball in Sacramento. It's the weekend. You'd love to go to a day game today and tomorrow, but they're like, oh, it's going to be too hot. Got to do night games. But anyway, Bailey's atrocious. And we just have to – the reason I'm ranting on it so much is it needs to be on the table. It needs to be a discussion point. It needs to gain momentum because this guy, you can't do this. You can't do this. Giants can't have – look, there's a happy medium between what Buster Posey was and what Patrick Bailey is. Find the medium. Find the middle of that. And I know a lot of people are jumping on going, maybe it was Joey Bart. Maybe it was. I'd give up some defense to have my catcher hit. Even some. Just an average hitting catcher. That's all you need. You don't need Will Smith. I don't need Salvador Perez. You don't need some of these better hitting catchers. But something, man. Because when he comes to the plate, it's like, I go get a sandwich and a beer or something. Like, I can't, like, what's the point? I just get frustrated watching his at-bats. Because he's swinging at the first pitch. It's kind of a half swing. It's a pop to third when they need a sac fly. You know, he can't even move runners over. He looks indifferent. Kind of walks away from the plate after striking out every time, looking into the stars. Like, the answer ain't there, bro. You can't hit. And this goes into last year, too. This is not just, you know, oh, he used to be able to hit. He used to be able to hit to, like, at least to a certain point. My God, man. Thank you for another super. Our good friend Brock408 says Giants and A's need to combine. No kidding. If you had the A's hitters with the Giants pitching and bullpen especially, but, you know, like at least the first two starters, you'd have a team. Yeah, I've thought about that. Like I said, they just brought back their second baseman. I'm losing his name now. Geloff. You know, they've got extra second baseman on the A's. It's just an average second baseman would be nice too, by the way. Yeah, 0-6. Hi, Bebop. 0-6 for Verlander. And like I said, a couple of starts, you've thought, oh, man, Verlander should have got that win, you know, as he's trying to get to 300, which it's not happening. He's done. But last night, he was atrocious. Like, his pitch location, ugh. Like, everybody wants to talk about velocity and all these kind of things. Here's the two most important things for a pitcher, all right? It's just like a quarterback and why nobody respects Brock Purdy on a national level. They think he should have to throw it through a wall. Location, 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 location. That's real estate as well as being a quarterback or a pitcher. Location, location, location. It's not about velocity. It's not. Never has been. Like, it's nice to have, but what you're trying to do is you're trying to keep the hitter off balance. So if I can throw changeups and curveballs and mix everything up, that's more important than how hard I throw. Because you throw 100, they're going to catch up to that at the major league level if that's all you got. It's about keeping hitters off balance, and it's about where you locate the pitch. Those are the two most important things. Velocity is important, no doubt, but it's about changing speeds, keep them off balance, locating where your pitches are. Last night, Verlander couldn't locate. I mean, he was throwing 96, 97, couldn't locate, and they got smoked, man. And these are young hitters the A's have. It doesn't matter, man. They can hit. So, anyway, there it is. Verlander winless, Bailey 4Ks and an error. Good news, Chapman is back. He's going to be back today, which is nice for him. He gets to play the A's. So what that essentially does is they'll still have Fitzgerald at second base. Schmidt's getting closer. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it'd be nice to get Schmidt at second base and Chapman at third and see what they could do. Jason, I don't think you're off, man. I wouldn't mind seeing, I know this hurts, but Austin Barnes, a former Dodger, in the lineup. And I think that Bailey just needs a day off. Like, dude, 4Ks, 4 atrocious at bats and a drop fly ball. That should get you a benching. Like, remember Bochy used to have the rule, you hit a home run, you're in the lineup the next day, no matter what. I think if you strike out, if you get the golden sombrero and you commit an error, then I think you get a benching the next day. Shouldn't that just be a philosophy of an ongoing philosophy, a rule for a manager? The golden sombrero and an error, yeah, you sit the next game out. You've earned yourself a place on the bench. I mean, just brutal. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind Austin Barnes today. Just give the guy a friggin' break, man. I don't know. I was just flipping through that, and somebody said Tom Murphy. I have no idea where Tom Murphy is. At this point, he's just a mirage. I don't know what happened to him. I have no idea. Yeah, they just let Joey Bart go. Like I said, I haven't checked Joey Bart lately, but I know his stick is better than this. So, anyway. Somebody did ribs last night. Sorry, I'm jumping around here. I did think ribs, and we just decided to go to Costco and do the whole thing and get the tri-tip. And we did the tri-tip, and we seasoned it, did it overnight. Had a nice crust on it. It worked out really good. And then you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to chop up. We have a whole another brisket, and I'm going to chop up probably half that brisket and do chopped brisket sandwiches. Come on. Hawaiian rolls, chopped brisket sandwich, Hawaiian rolls with I have a secret recipe for a slaw, which is like, if coleslaw is bad, like Kentucky Fried Chicken or something has terrible coleslaw. But if you get a good coleslaw on a chopped brisket, which I'm going to do, I'm going to chop up the brisket, mix it with some barbecue sauce, put the homemade slaw on top. Like almost I know you're going to say I'm crazy here, but it's like, it's got pineapple in it. It's like a sweet slaw. So good. I'm going to chop that up, a little pineapple in there, chop that up into the slaw. And put a little hot sauce on it, maybe a little Swiss cheese or provolone, probably Swiss. Pop that on there, put that on with some slaw, barbecue sauce, hot sauce on a Hawaiian roll. Get out of town. It's going to be good. Maybe I'll take a picture of it. No, I'm not I don't take pictures of food. I don't take pictures of food. It drives me crazy. When I see pictures of food, unfollow. I don't want to see your food. Just eat it. Eat it. Eat your food. Tell me how good it was. I don't need to see a picture of it. Like, people are out. I see people in restaurants. Let me get a picture of this food. And it's on your phone. You never look at it. There's 100 pictures of food on your phone. I'm sorry if somebody does that. You do you. You do you. Oh, people doing burgers and fries yesterday. Very nice. I haven't done. Yeah, I'm not a big cocaine guy, man. Not a big cocaine guy. Back in the day, gave it a shot a few times. Never did anything for me. All right, what else do we have today? All right, are we done messing around with the A's and the Giants thing? No, we're not. But let me do this. You're doing chicken today? That's not bad. That's nice. That's really nice. Doing it the next day. You know what's nice too is, you know, like yesterday I had the smoker going. I mean, lots of smoke, right? And you know your neighbors are just like, damn you, because late King's Bakery, good call right there, Joji. Late in the day, I got some barbecue, you know, smell in my yards from my neighbors, but I had that sucker going. I started my tri-tip yesterday about noon, and that thing was just blowing smoke out of there. I had that thing rolling, and we ate at like 5. So, I mean, that thing was rolling on there for about 5 hours, real, you know, low and slow, really good. And then we put some, all beef dogs on at the, that my wife bought at like a butcher or something. And we put a bunch of those on. Those were really good. Believe me, I went to bed last night. I was like, oh, I felt like Joey Chestnut. I was like, all right. Okay, Chapman's back. Let's see, episode 183. Where are we? How was the fourth? 11-2 loss to the A's. Verlander winless. Deserved to be winless last night. It was terrible. We got to start talking about Patrick Bailey being a former Giant. Four strikeouts and an error last night. Dropped that pop fly. We got to start talking about it. It's just that bad. Chapman is back against the A's today. That will help things. There's no doubt about it. We'll see. I meant trade needed. And what I mean by that is they need some kind of a shot in the arm here. Devers hasn't really given it to him. Not his fault. I think he's trying a little too hard. But last night, when he hit that gapper, it was just, he smokes the ball. He's going to be fine. He's the least of your worries. It'd be really nice. You could tell when he was rounding first base on that double yesterday. Kruko was saying it, the hamstring is an issue. So he's not going to be playing first anytime soon. But if he could get healthy and play first, if Schmidt could give him something at second, I know there's a lot of ifs here. Adames, Chapman, I mean, it can't be too bad. I'm not going to mention Bailey anymore. But that's really going to help. But yeah, they need a shot in the arm. And I think it might be a third starter. I never thought I was going to say that during the season. But the way that Birdsong goes to the mound, he's going great. Then he just completely loses it. That's an issue. And we just saw Verlander and Roop in Arizona was just okay the other day. They need a third starter. So, and again, it doesn't have to be a Devers type of play, but they need something there. So, let's see. A Rays all-star game case. I don't know what else the guy can do. How about this for the way that things change? As good as Robbie Ray has been, remember, he's a Cy Young Award winner, one of the better pitchers in the game. He's had two career complete game games. One in 2017 and one the other night in Arizona, and he was great. I mean, he was really good. Ninth inning was leaking a little bit of gas, but, you know, he was a pitcher of the month in May in Major League Baseball, wasn't as good in June, and then starts out July that way. I think Robbie Ray is going to be a member of the All-Star team. I know that Logan Webb is. You hope that Rodriguez is, but the way that the Giants have, I don't know that they would get a third in. So in other words, if they were the wild card team right now and they were rolling like they're rolling, you could justify because of winning Rodriguez getting in there. I don't know that he's going to get in there now, but I think Ray and Webb should be. Speaking of, by the way, this is what's amazing. They're playing bad baseball. There's no doubt. And maybe it's just a bad stretch here. Who knows? You would think that they would be out of it, but there you go. Mets, who have really been struggling lately. Then the Brewers, who they just won't go away. No matter who they lose, they're just good. Padres, watched them yesterday. They walk it off. Cronenworth walked it off for the Padres yesterday. So they stay ahead. But look, as bad as they're playing right now, they're two back in the wild card of the Padres. The problem becomes the Cardinals, who gave up 8 home runs yesterday to the Cubs, by the way. And they lost 11-2 as well. But Cardinals right there, Reds right there. Now you're tied in the loss column with the Reds, the Cardinals. Even the Diamondbacks are only a few back. The hell with the rest of those teams, except for maybe Atlanta. But I keep saying that, and they still suck. So let's throw Atlanta out of it for a minute. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 legit teams for 3 spots. I still think the Mets, who have kind of survived their thing, are going to be there. Padres are going to be there. I keep saying the Brewers aren't, but apparently they are. The Cardinals are pretty good. They need a move at the deadline. The Reds, at the beginning of the year, I thought the Reds were pretty good. And then, you know, I'm looking at them going, and then they've kind of come on lately. The Diamondbacks, I wasn't overly impressed with what the Diamondbacks bring to the table. And I watched them yesterday get smoked by Kansas City. So I don't know if they're in it. But point is that, look, you're going to be in a dogfight here. Cardinals, Reds, they're going to stay in it. Padres are there. Brewers apparently are there. I think the Mets are going to be a wild card team for sure, unless they have major injuries, and they've already had major injuries to their starting staff. So they got a lot of work to do, but they are right there. So yeah, it's been bad. They've been terrible, but maybe this is just their bad stretch and they're going to get this thing together, especially getting Matt Chapman back. I think Chapman is absolutely huge. So if you want to feel good today and not the red, white, and blues that I put on the cover of the show, that means you look at the standings and go, okay, all right, we're not good, but they're going to make a trade for a third starter at the very least. Hell, they might get another stick, and all of a sudden they could be right there. One thing that is a peeve of mine, and it's not that they make so much money and all this kind of stuff, but it's an excuse made by the media, And I really like Susan Slusser. She's been on my shows for years and years and years. She's amazing. Used to be president of the Baseball Writers Association. It's nothing against her, but this is one of my pet peeves. One thing I like about Verlander is he never makes excuses. I feel I was pretty to hit tonight. Frankly, embarrassing. I didn't do better. Look, man, you're a professional. You don't get credit for taking responsibility for being shitty. All right? You don't. That's the least you can do. Just like when people say, at least they play hard. Gee, you play hard for $30 million a year? Thanks. Thanks for doing that. Appreciate it. Because us fans, we pay a shitload of money to come into the game. The least you can do is play hard. Like, you don't get credit for playing hard. I don't know. These are unwritten rules to me from fandom. You don't get credit for playing hard. You don't get credit for taking responsibility for being shitty. That's what you should do. What was Justin Verlander going to do? Come into the clubhouse and say, God, the defense behind me sucked. Did you see Ramos in the first inning fumble that ball? He was terrible. It should have been better. Patrick Bailey was crap behind the plate. He called a terrible game. I was fine. Like, what? That's what he's going to do? Like, you get credit for taking responsibility? Come on, man. That's weak. I mean, that's just the soft media. Thanks for taking credibility. You don't make excuses. What excuse was he going to make? My arm hurts. My butt hurts. My leg hurts. Like, what was he going to do? The least an athlete can do is take responsibilities for your actions, play hard. I mean, there's only a few things that we ask, and we want to be on your side. We buy your jersey. You know, a lot of people idolize these guys. They make excuses constantly on social media for their own guys. They blame officials, the other team, the coach, everybody but the player. Player gets a pass 99% of the time from fans. But it's like, look, you sucked, and you're 0-6, and if your name wasn't Verlander, you'd be DFA'd. I mean, can we be honest? Can we be 100% honest here? If his name wasn't Verlander, he gone. Because the Giants are sitting there going, and it's kind of like I said this a couple of weeks ago. It's kind of like Brandon Crawford last year with St. Louis. Like, at some point, the Cardinals are like, dude, you're so bad that we just can't do this. And I know that you're a legend where you were. And look, Crawford's not Verlander. Verlander's a first ballot Hall of Famer. This is not going to be a blip on his radar. You know, lots of baseball cards you look at and you're like, oh my God, I forgot that guy was on this team. That's what Verlander's going to be. This is it for him. He's done. He's done. And he's 42 years old, and he's had an amazing career. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I was at, by the way, they said this last night, 20 years ago yesterday was his major league debut. He wore 59. He was the starter of a second on the back end of a July 4th doubleheader. He was the number two pick in the draft out of Old Dominion. I was working in Detroit at the time. We carried the Tigers. Everyone's going crazy. I covered that game. I covered Justin Verlander's first game 20 years ago, the big hot shot, number two overall pick. Comes up, starts the second game of a doubleheader. In fact, when his first start with the Giants, it was a home start, and I chased him down after the media, talked to him, and I go, hey, man, I was at your first start on July 4th. So he didn't seem overly impressed, but I was like, and I was talking to him about it, and I was like, never mind. He didn't seem impressed that I was there, but it's true. But anyway, if his name's not Justin Verlander, he's DFA'd. And maybe he's not, only because they don't have organizational depth. So in other words, if Harrison was still here, Hicks was still here, they might DFA him anyway. But he's just not that guy anymore. And it's unfortunate because he's still throwing 96. But what happens is major league hitters, they prey on that one mistake. And there may be one. Here's the difference that's going on with Verlander right now. When he was great, even when he was good, you might get in a game, let's say that Justin Verlander on average goes 6 innings, just for the heck of it. So Justin Verlander goes 6 innings. You might get, I don't know, in that time, what, 10 pitches, 10 mistakes, and you got to hope you hit him. Now it's like he gives you twice that or three times that. Maybe he didn't even give you 10 mistakes in a start. Maybe he gives you 5. Now he gives you 10 or 15. That's the difference. Is that and these guys are going to miss him. They're not going to miss a hanging breaking pitch like he threw last night. They're not going to miss a fastball right down Main Street above the belt. They don't miss those. And that's what he's doing, and that's not what he used to do. So you look at the radar gun. This is back to what I said before. When you look at the radar gun and he's throwing 96, 97, you're going, damn, the guy still got it. It's where he's putting the ball. And when you're great and you can consistently put it there, nobody's going to hit you. But what's happening is he's still throwing that. He doesn't have quite the bend, but he's making more mistakes. He's hanging pitches. Fastballs are not, you know, where they're supposed to be, where the glove is. They're up above the belt, right down the middle. It doesn't matter what your name is. They're hitting them. So, yeah, they probably wouldn't have DFA'd him with Harrison gone and Hicks gone. But if Harrison and Hicks were still here, I don't know that Justin Verlander's on this team. And it's not like it's Justin Verlander when he was on the Tigers, you know, it's like, God, can we release an all-time legend? Of course you can't. But he wasn't a legend here. He doesn't have that equity built up in the closet with the Giants. So they can release him at any point. Problem is that we saw Mason Black last night. We saw Carson Seymour in Arizona. Like, they don't have anybody. There's nobody else. So you're stuck with him. We're stuck with him. And he's not very good. So there's that. Any more thoughts on the Giants, the rosy red picture that I have painted on the Giants? And I'm sorry, but when you have an 11-2 game, 11-2 loss, if anybody else paints a picture that's different than what I've described, then they're just a flat-out homer. And that's why this one pisses me off, because it's just like, come on, man. What's he doesn't make excuses. Great. Congratulations on that. Congratulations on your 5 ERA, but you don't make excuses. You shouldn't make excuses. My God. Yeah, he's done. Location, location, location. Chef, you could not be more right. Yes, chef. Let's see what else. By the way, I want to say good morning. Lots of people. J49 is here today. Lynn Bird, it's good to see you. Pat H, good morning. I'm only fired up. And you know what? I'm not mad. I was having a good time last night. It didn't piss me off. We had a great day. I'm not angry about it. I just am like, my God. It's two things. The Patrick Bailey thing has got to be exposed. Like, it's got to start. You know, we got to start talking about Patrick Bailey and getting replaced. It ain't going to be this year, but next year. Can't go through another season like this. The organization can't. Bob Melvin's a catcher. You know, Buster Posey's a catcher. Like, they know how important the defensive side of things are, but they also know that the robot ump is coming, and this dude is useless when that thing comes aboard. Goodbye. Like, I don't even know that he's going to be a backup catcher in this league. Hello, Rock 408. Good to see you again. And again, supers, if you want to donate to the show, that is a great way to do it. Do you think we just win the series, then we'll make playoffs? Do you think we'll win this, just win the series, then make the playoffs? Clarify that a little bit for me. Are you talking about, the Giants and making you don't have to give me a super on this, but just, you're talking about the Giants making the playoffs? Look, I'm not down on the Giants making the playoffs. To be completely fair to the Giants, the bullpen is a little burned right now. They probably could use the All-Star break, but they're going to be fine. I think they'll figure out the starting pitching. When you have two All-Star caliber players as the Giants do, I think they're going to be fine. The hitting, I keep looking at the players on the field, and I say to myself, they are going to be able to score enough runs. Four, as I've been telling you for the longest time, is the magic number. So I think they can score four a game. You know, injuries, you can either use them as an excuse or an explanation. The Chapman injury was a killer. Because, you know, Casey Schmidt started to play a little bit better, then he gets hurt. Now you don't have a second baseman, you don't have a third baseman. The dude who was at third base, who he kicked the ball last night too. I've never even heard of that dude. Had like no home runs, 14 RBIs and sack. Which, by the way, how weird was this? Did anybody else think of this last night? I doubt this has ever happened in Major League Baseball history. In fact, I'm sure of it. Maybe it has. But so Luis Matos, for example, or Brett Wisely, guys who played for the Rivercats. So you were a home player when you played for the Rivercats in Sacramento, and you were an opposing player when you were a member of the Giants against the A's last night. Has any player in Major League history besides those guys who played last night and also played for the Rivercats, has this ever happened in history where you didn't get traded and you played as an opposing player and a home player in the same stadium in the same season, but didn't get traded? Somebody look that up. Ask AI. You played in the same stadium as they did last night as an opposing player and a home player, but you didn't get traded. I don't think it's ever happened. Like, I was thinking that last night. That's the kind of things I think of, especially after I have too many cocktails. Like, that when Matos didn't hit a double or something last night, Matos had that hit, and I'm like, wait a minute, he was a Rivercat and he was a home player in that stadium, and now he's a Giant and he's an opposing player and he didn't get traded. That's probably never happened, but I don't know. Maybe. Doubt it. Anyway, I don't know. That's the weird, dumb stuff that I think of there, you know, during things. Yeah, look, I'm not down on the Giants not making the playoffs. I think that they've got too much talent. Like, I'm watching that game last night going, that's pathetic. And that's what we're talking about. Is that my main points today are, if they didn't have such a lack of organizational depth in pitching as we saw last night, again, Mason Black can't pitch at this level, at least right now. Carson Seymour doesn't seem to be able to pitch at this level. That's their organizational depth. Those are the guys that they're bringing up. That then, because they traded Kyle Harrison, because they traded Jordan Hicks, they don't have organizational depth. So Justin Verlander is not going to get released, even though last night he was terrible. And for the most part of this year has been terrible. And it had a couple of games where he should have won. There's no doubt. But by and large, 42 years old, hasn't been very good. And that stretches now over last year and this year over 30 starts. So this is not a small sample size. Look at the last starts he had last year. Look at the starts he's had this year. And he's been terrible over his last 30 starts. So this is not, this is like a full season. And he's 42, in which he's not going this way. He's going this way anyway. So that's not good. But he's not going to get released. Not because his name's Justin Verlander, because the Giants don't care about that. He didn't do that, all those things here. It's just they don't have any organizational depth, so they got to pray that he can be a number five starter, which so far he hasn't been. So they're going to need to pick somebody up at the deadline. Burnsong hasn't been good enough. He loses it. He's pitching well. He's pitching well. He's pitching well. Oh, my God. Like, it's not one wheel comes off, all four do at once, and then he can't get it back. And then Roop is up and down. So that's your 3, 4, and 5. That's not good enough. So they've got to do something as far as that goes. And then, like I said, I just want to start the conversation. Nothing against Patrick Bailey personally. Golden Sombrero last night misses a pop-up. Let's start the conversation. Next year, he can't be the catcher. If he continues to hit like this, I don't care how good he is defensively. It's not good enough, and it'll never be good enough in this ballpark. They'll never have a lineup with the Giants in this ballpark that's so good that the catcher can be a pitcher, hitting-wise. Just can't do it. So that's the story as far as the Giants. I'll get to JK in a second. Any more thoughts on baseball before I move on to what's going on in the latest in JK? I have the perfect team to trade Jonathan Kuminga to, and I'll give you that in just a second. It does always come back to this for Verlander. Well, at least Justin Verlander is a hot wife, so I can't feel that badly for him. Like, he's fine. He's making another $15 million. They'll throw it on the pile of money. He's not hurting. I know he's a very competitive guy. By the way, I like Justin Verlander personally. Not that that matters, but he's done. And like I said, lots of guys in professional sports, they don't just gradually go like this when they're done. They go... Like, that's how most careers end. And I don't care how good you were. And I don't care what your name is. And I don't care if you're going to the Hall of Fame. Most careers don't go, they go, like, just at one day, you just don't have it anymore. And that's kind of where he is. So, and that's, you know, no matter how good he is, that's just the way it is. Let's see. Anyway, yeah, that is a good trivia question. Has a player ever played as an opposing player and a home player in the same stadium but not been traded? Matos did that last night. Brett Wisely did that last night. Alcantara, the third baseman I had never heard of, did that last night. I don't know who else. Carson Seymour didn't pitch last night. Oh, Black. Mason Black last night. Anybody who had been with the River Cats and then turned around with the Giants. Opposing players last night, home players at AAA, but not had been traded. Like, that happens during a season. A guy gets traded, it happens, but not normally if you don't get traded. All right, here's the latest on Jonathan Kuminga. And if you want to continue to talk about Pat H says, let me do one more of these. Fargo had PCA or Tyler Stoner. I know. Oh, PCA. Can you imagine him in center field? You wouldn't have to get Jung-Hoo Lee, who, by the way, he hit 2 home runs. Pete Crow Armstrong hit 2 of the 8 home runs that they had against the Cardinals last night. He hit 2 last night. Dude's going to the All-Star game. He's so good. What a trade that was. Javier Baez for Pete Crow Armstrong. And I give Baez credit. I mean, he still swings at anything, but he's going to the All-Star game for Detroit. That's more because their fans voted him in. But Pete Crow Armstrong is 23. And he is phenomenal. Fast, great defender, can steal bases. He's ridiculous. And that happens in baseball. I mean, what pick was Trout, 27 or something like that? The A's took a guy named Grant Green. I mean, come on. Brutal. So, I mean, that happens. Yeah, that happens. All right, let's hit up this. I'll give you a perfect team for Jonathan Kuminga. So this is the latest. This is from Anthony Slater. Says Washington, which finished last in the Eastern Conference, 18 wins, blah, blah, blah. So Washington's in on him. Miami, Chicago, Milwaukee, Brooklyn. Kuminga's not playing on the Warriors next year. The Warriors don't want him, and he doesn't be able to be on the Warriors. All right, so there's that. Washington is the perfect team, and there's some people who still are wanting to talk some Giants, so I'll get back to it in just a second. But let me just do this for you really, really quick on Jonathan Kuminga. This is the perfect team for him, the Wiz. Just look at this team. Okay, the Warriors need size. I understand that. But for some reason, they went out and they traded for McCollum and they traded Poole for him. So CJ McCollum's on that team. Marcus Smart's on that team, somebody that the Warriors have always wanted. Now, he's a little bit older. I get that. Corey Kispert's an interesting guy. He's not great defensively, but can shoot the shit out of it. Chris Middleton is on that team, the former Buck. So you got some young players here, and Washington's not going anywhere, but then you've got some veteran guys, too, that the Warriors could use. Now, the number one guy that they could use, Alex Saar, who was the second pick of the draft last year and was not very good. I'll give him that. But he's a stretch big. He can defend a little bit, rebound a little bit, block some shots. They're not getting Alex Saar for Jonathan Kuminga. Sorry, not going to happen. So that would be the guy that I'd really want. But if you look at some of these veterans, McCollum is a third guard, Chris Middleton, who can shoot the hell out of it. Kispert's a younger player, can shoot it. I'm not saying they're getting all those players, but what I am saying is that they've got you know, Marcus Smart. They've got some players that if you traded Kuminga and you told me, I'm just gonna for the heck of it say, okay, give us Marcus Smart. I don't know if they could get Smart and Middleton, or give me Smart and Kispert. You know, give me Smart and Kispert. You know, something like that. Because they got to match salaries. You know, you're going to want to pick out of that or something like that, or they're probably going to want to pick from you, whatever. I don't care. But they've got, what I'm saying is they've got some young players. They've got some veteran players. I mean, McCollum, Smart, Middleton, they would all make sense for the Warriors, even though that doesn't really help their size. I understand that. Olynyk is a guy with size. Look, I don't love Kelly Olynyk, especially at this point of his career. I think he's 34. But Kelly Olynyk is a guy that could be a stretch. So if you could, let's say you could pick up Olynyk, Middleton, or Olynyk, Smart, something like that. Like, again, I know you're going to yourself, oh, man, you know, Kuminga has all this upside. I get it. Like, I understand that. But they're not going to get – he's a diminished product at this point. And I'm just saying, like, the Nets have nobody. The Kings, the offer that the Kings made was a complete joke. So I'm just saying, if they're talking to teams, and I'm looking at Washington, and Washington is kind of what the Kings are. They're just this mismatch of, like, none of this stuff fits for Washington. You know, Bub Carrington, Trey Johnson, McCollum, Smart, A.J. Johnson. What? Like, their starting lineup is Bub Carrington, according to ESPN. Bub Carrington, C.J. McCollum, Chris Middleton, Alex Saar. Like, it's just a mess. And I actually like their second team. I like Smart. I like Kispert. I like Olynyk. Again, for the Warriors, for a fit for the Warriors. Olynyk's 34. I understand. But for look, they got a two-year window that they're talking about, okay? And when they blow this thing to smithereens in 2 years, with or without Kuminga, they're going to the lottery, deep into the lottery, and it's going to be a reset. So what does it matter? So I'm saying, if you want to get going for the next 2 years, Smart makes sense. He takes the place of Gary Payton the second. Olynyk's a shooter. And can I get Middleton? I mean, that's way too much probably. But could I get Olynyk and Middleton? Maybe, because now I get a scorer in Middleton. He doesn't defend much, but I, you know, and then I get a stretch and a Olynyk. That's about as good as you could probably do. Maybe you could get a young player from their team too. Like, what do they need Kispert for? I don't know. I mean, he's not doing a whole lot for them, but he's a nice shooter. Could be a nice shooter off the bench. I'm just saying they've got a combination of players that could probably make things work for Kuminga. You know, and I'm throwing a bunch of names out there, but I'm just simply saying that between veterans like McCollum and Middleton and Smart and Olynyk, you got some guys. Young players that I like, you know, there's, like I said, I'd push for Saar, but you're not going to get him. But even a young player or two, sorry, I just clicked on that. Maybe you can get a young player from that and a veteran player or two. I'm sure they'd give up a Olynyk for basically nothing as part of that deal. I mean, if they could somehow get a Olynyk, Kispert, Middleton, Olynyk, Kispert, Smart, I don't know. Maybe I'm too crazy on that kind of a thought. But anyway. That's what's going on as far as the, did I pop that on the screen? I did, didn't I? As far as the Wiz are concerned. So there you go. I think that's the perfect team because you're not going to get that much for them. I understand that. The Kings deal doesn't make any sense. Brooklyn, you can't sign and trade. They've got nobody that you want in Brooklyn. Miami is sitting back kind of like the Warriors going, what's going on with Giannis? And I played this for you the other day. If Shams is right and he's going to wait till the end of the offseason, you can't wait. You can't wait. You're just going to have to make a move. And I think Washington makes a ton of sense for Kuminga. And apparently they are meeting next week. They're meeting next week. And Kuminga is going to be like, come on, man. I just, you don't want me, let me go. Like, it's one of those girlfriends or boyfriends or significant others where you're like, you don't want to let him go, but, you know, but you don't want to be with him. Well, that's Kuminga. Like, you don't want him, but you don't want him to go somewhere else. And, you know, he's your kind of your meal ticket to getting better or maybe younger or at least getting some veterans. So this 2-year window that you have can be a little bit better. But I don't think he's going to end up in Sacramento, man. There's two reasons why. One, they are a little bit afraid that he could blossom into something. So do you really want him up the road against your rival? Probably not. And then what they're offering is garbage. I mean, the offer is garbage that they offered. Now, some Warriors fans think that they're going to get Murray. They're not. He's a diminished product. He's diminished. There's a lot of people in the league, and I keep telling you this, but I know this for a fact. There's a lot of people in this league, because of the way that the Warriors have talked about him behind the scenes, he's not real coachable. He's got a massive ego for someone who's never accomplished, well, never is too strong of a word, who hasn't accomplished very much in this league. And so that's permeated through to other teams. And so the only kind of teams who are going to take Jonathan Kuminga to me are the teams that are messed up and bad. Brooklyn, Washington, the Bulls, teams like that that are shit and have bad front offices, they're going to take the chance on Jonathan Kuminga. And so you've got to look and say, okay, what can I get from those teams? I'm sorry, Vucevic of the Bulls, nah. 34-year-old center, doesn't defend anybody. I get it. He can shoot from the outside a little bit. He can rebound. There's no doubt. He's a terrible defender. They get him in pick and roll all the time. I don't like that. I don't like the fit. Can he put up numbers? Has he been an all-star? Yeah, but I don't like the fit, and I don't think the Warriors do either. So I don't think Chicago. Brooklyn just doesn't have anything to give. Miami would be interesting. I've said this time and time again. You're not getting Hero from them. You're not getting Bam Adebayo from them. But they've got a couple of nice young pieces that if they would part with, but I don't know what Pat Riley thinks of Jonathan Kuminga. Maybe he thinks with his ego, Riley, that he can straighten him out and he can be the guy there. So maybe Miami could be an interesting one. But like I said, with a combination of veterans and young players, I really think Washington might be the team. So just stick a pin in that. Let's see what happens. All right, that's the latest on JK. The reason why I put 49ers soon here, and I want to do a let me do a Joey Chestnut before I do this Niners thing. Did you see this thing? And this goes on and on till the break of dawn. Like Bet99 Sportsbook, go to that because this isn't even all of it. So like last night, Joey do 70 and a half hot dogs? But his record is 76 in 10 minutes. These are his other records. 182 large chicken wings in 30 minutes. Those aren't the little ones. It's the full wing. Like, you know what I'm talking about? The full wing. So he did 162 of those in 30 minutes. This is the one that blew my mind. 121 Twinkies in 6 minutes. Have you ever eaten a Twinkie? Like, I haven't eaten a Twinkie since like 1973. I mean, those things are filled with more preservatives in one of those than probably anything else you've eaten in your entire life. I mean, those things will last for years, right? Like, that's been documented. Like, you could set one on a windowsill, and in 5 years come back and look exactly the same. You could just eat it. Like, unbelievable. He ate, like, how did he not die when he ate 121 Twinkies in 6 minutes? I don't know. Like, that had to, like, you had to feel, if I've eaten one Twinkie, I felt sick, and that was when I was like 16. 257 donuts. You know what those are? Those little mini donuts that Hostess has? Powdered chocolate, whatever. Like, I don't know what he ate. You couldn't eat 257 of those things, not the powdered ones. You couldn't, because you'd need so much water, you'd die. So I don't know which ones he ate. I don't know if they're plain ones. Maybe he ate plain ones, because even the chocolate ones are like, bleh, bleh. Like, you can't, they're just dry. Can't eat them. 390 shrimp wontons in 8 minutes. He ate 165 pierogies, and I don't know how he did that, because that's potato. So that's like a starchy, thick kind of a thing, pierogies. Oh, no way. 46 pulled pork sandwiches in 10 minutes. So if it's a sandwich, he's got the bun. So he's powering the bun and the sandwich, which, by the way, that was on my list yesterday. I was either going to do ribs, pulled pork sandwiches, or the tri-tip. I ended up doing the tri-tip, but I love pulled pork, but not 45 of them. 53 soft beef tacos in 10 minutes. Those had to be minis or something, or small ones, didn't they? Or if they were full, oh my God. I guess they might have been full. 30 fish tacos in 5 minutes. 126 3-inch tacos. Oh, those are the small ones. My God. See, this is what I couldn't do. I couldn't do one cow brain taco. 54 cow brain tacos in 8 minutes. No chance. 82 small carnitas tacos. I love carnitas tacos. I could probably eat in 8 minutes, 10. 82? My point in all of this is I can't believe he didn't die after one of these. I mean, wouldn't your arteries just like, like you're just done. You got to be done. 23 meat pies, 141 boiled eggs. I don't know. I like egg salad. I like deviled eggs. Can't do just straight up ones. Fried asparagus. No. Pork rib meat, 14 pounds in 12 minutes. My God, I can't believe he's alive. I mean, seriously, like you do that once, maybe. Like I was in a wing eating I know this is going to be hard to believe, but in like a celebrity wing eating contest one time. And I think I was able in the time that how many wings did it say he could eat? 182 large. We had the small ones. So he did 182 large in 30 minutes. I think that maybe I did like 30 in 10 minutes or something like that. I don't know what it was. It was an embarrassing low amount, but it was like, it's all I could do. You know, and they weren't breaded or anything like that, but you had to really get the meat or else you were going to get penalized. But I mean, that list is probably three times longer than that. I just wanted to give you an example of it. If you go to Bet99 Sportsbook, they have like three pages of this stuff. I mean, he is so much better than anybody else. But as I was reading all that stuff, I'm just like, how is he not dead? I'm not even kidding. Like, how is he not dead? Like after one of those competitions, he has to go to the doctor, right? And they got to just pump the food out of them somehow. I mean, that doesn't take its natural course. Sorry if you're eating breakfast, but that can't. Like, there's no way. What would be the most damaging thing on there? Probably the hot dogs, to be honest. 76 hot dogs? Ugh. Maybe the Twinkies probably are not helping. Pulled pork sandwiches, the cow brains. I don't know. Ugh. Slider burgers, he ate 103. Small cheeseburger. See, is a small cheeseburger like the McDonald's cheeseburger? If he ate 52 of those McDonald's cheeseburgers in 10 minutes, that's got to be death. Like, I don't know which one of those is worse, but I got to believe, like, for example, the 76 hot dogs, when he did that one, he did 70 and a half yesterday. He had to go straight to the doctor, right? Had to go straight to the doctor. Like, doc, how am I doing? Let's clear you of these. Let's, you know, I don't know if it's a surgery. I don't know if he gives him a couple of pills of something. He yaks it all up. I have no idea. But that is ridiculous. Anyway, sorry. Might make you sick. That is crazy. So that's Joey Chestnut. I'll go out to the line. I'll go out to the chat room in just a second, but thank you for joining us. By the way, episode 183 on a Saturday here, right after July 4th. Any questions, comments, or thoughts, hit them right here on if you come into the John Lund Unleashed room on YouTube, please make sure you're subscribed, have those alerts on, and hit us with a like. You can go in the chat room and say hello to us this morning. Questions, comments, thoughts, 100% on the screen if you hit us with a super. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, people, but imagine that toilet. I can't even imagine. Yeah, it's got maybe the hot dogs are the worst thing that were on that list. My God. Fried Twinkie. I've had a fried Twinkie actually at the Texas State Fair. Was pretty good, gotta say. Let's see. Kaminga. Let's see. What else do we got here? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how old Joey Chestnut is. He's got to be around my age. And I can't believe he's going to last past 60. Like, his insides got to be messed up. I mean, there's no way you can eat like that and not have it pay you back. It's just no way. It's kind of like somebody who's got like an alcohol problem. Like, yeah, what happened? His liver gave out at 40. Yeah, I could see that. There's no way, man. Let's see. I think Kaminga needs a better agent because he could be a good, but needs to promote him better. Like I said, he's going to end up, mark my words, he's going to end up on a bad team. Bad team. So it's going to be Brooklyn. It's going to be Chicago. It's going to be Washington. It's going to be, you know, something like that. I think it's going to be Washington. I think Washington makes a ton of sense. Now, having said that, it's up to Jonathan Kaminga. But if Jonathan Kaminga goes to Washington, for example, who's he competing with? Who's he competing with for touches? Anyone? Alex Saar? I mean, he can be the guy there. That's all he wants. He doesn't care about winning and losing. He can replace Jordan Poole on that team. Look, Jordan Poole's gone. You can be the Jordan Poole. Because there's a bunch of veteran guys on that team. I just showed you. There's a bunch of veteran guys on that team. CJ McCollum, those kind of guys. Trade those guys to the Warriors. That's what I would think. Little Giants review. Help me out here. Did they really pinch hit for Devers with a guy batting 147? What happened, Nathan, was obviously the game was out of reach. And if you saw the double that Devers hit earlier in the game, he kind of was favoring that hamstring, and they had said earlier that he was dealing with some hamstring issues. So I'm sure in an 11-0 or 11-2 or whatever the hell the score was when he went up to bat, or maybe they hadn't hit that last home run, 9-2, whatever, 9-0, whatever it was when he got pinch hit for, the game was over, and they thought to themselves, we're not going to push this hamstring. And so they took Devers out of the game. It was injury-related. And he's going to keep hitting. It's just you could tell when he hit that double, he roped that double to right center. He wasn't running real well. And that's the reason why he's not playing first base. They've had him out there taking grounders, but his hamstring's giving him some trouble. So that's why they took him out of the game last night. That was that one. Anything else there? I think we've hit everything except for the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. And we're an hour 10 in this thing. We usually, Saturdays, we usually do like an hour. So anyway, there was a lot of stuff for me. No lunch for me now. I'm sorry. I am making, if you would like one, I'm going to do chopped brisket today. Like I said, chopped brisket, slaw on top, Hawaiian bun, hot sauce, probably Swiss. Oh, it's going to be so good. Let's see. Oh, good luck to you on this. Are you doing this today? Santa Cruz. Oh, I see. You're saying they have them, the deep fried stuff. I was going to say July 4th weekend down there. That would be unbelievable. Hi, EB. Good to see you. All right, let's see here. Anything else? Yeah, no lunch for me now. I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. Dr. Riopel could absolutely help Joey Chestnut keep going and going and going and going. Thank you very much. That's my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel. Make sure that you Google it, and he will make you feel better. I am telling you. All right, let's hit a caboose pistol today. Let me make sure I have these things. I have one video. Oh, one more thing. Not watching it. Don't care. Do not care. My sports clock is no basketball in the summer. The only reason I popped this up, so one of my first big breaks in this business was the Rocky Mountain Review in Salt Lake City. And that used to be the only summer league. It was just like, that was the place. And it was the coolest thing ever because they gave me a live mic. And I've told you this about the NBA Finals before, but they gave me a live mic. I'd walk around and, hey, there's Larry Brown over there. There's Greg Popovich over there. There's Phil Jackson over here. All the powers that be. And the place wasn't full. I mean, the fans, there was a smattering of fans. But, like, I saw Tim Duncan's first, game ever. And it was in the summer league in Salt Lake City, And he would go sit down after a game, and I'd walk up and talk to Tim Duncan. It was one of the coolest things ever. It was early in my career. And they're like, here's a plum assignment for you. You can walk around the summer league. And it was so cool because then I'd just sit next to Phil Jackson. I go, hey, Phil, can I, get you for 5 minutes? And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And he would just be sitting. I'd be like, talking about Shaq and Kobe. And then I'd go walk over to the next guy, and there'd be another coach. Hey, there's Larry Brown. There's Popovich. Hey, there's Tim Duncan sitting with a couple of teammates. He's a rookie. He was the first pick in the draft. Hey, Tim, what's going on? Like, it was pretty cool. So covering it was fun. And one of the great mysteries in sports right now is it's 110 in Vegas, and players and everybody, they all go there. Like, Steph Curry will go to the Warriors game in Las Vegas. I don't know if they're paying him to do it, but it's like, wait a minute. It's 110 in Vegas right now. You can get hotel rooms for like $35, except then there's a $50 resort fee. But and guys will go there. Like, big time, James Harden will be there. Like, big time NBA players will go there. And it's like, what? Summer League? When did that happen? Because like I said, I started my career in Salt Lake City, Rocky Mountain Review. There'd be, 600 or 700 or 800 fans, and then all these executives and players and all this stuff. Not players aren't coming to Salt Lake City; they're coming to Vegas. I get it why, but it's 110, so I don't understand that part of it. Stay inside, but there was hardly anybody, and it was great. I could just talk to anybody. I'd be like, hey, I got Phil Jackson here. It was awesome. For me, it was like the Super Bowl, and it was a summer league. But I'm not going. I'm not watching it today. No, no chance. Not a summer league guy. Like, whatever. Don't care. All right, let's do the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. We have a wonderful Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. Got some questions for you. So let me do that. Media, let's see, don't need that. Moved up the background music so we wouldn't take forever to find.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose Pistol, everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there. Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
Pine says, I lived in Vegas for years. Nobody goes outside. Famous people go there. Yeah, what? I got a story for you before we do the caboose. We were talking about hangovers. In fact, maybe the last time I was really, really, really hungover was probably in Vegas. And my wife and I went there. It was business related or something like that. She had something, so I went with her. And we stayed at the MGM. And we said, we're not going outside. We were way too hungover. You know what I think it was? It might have been Kentucky Derby weekend or something. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was. Because we blew out till like 6 in the morning, and then it was Saturday, and it was Kentucky Derby Day, and we had a suite at the sports book, and so we're like, we got to go. And she's like, I can't get out of bed, everything. The MGM had one of those places where, you know, they make you brand new, basically. You go in there, and they stick all the stuff in you, and you know, the hydration, all that, all the needles and all that. So we went in there, and it revitalized me. I felt like I didn't have a drink or anything like that, but before we did that, we went outside. It was a million degrees and we were looking for a place to eat. And we thought, oh, well, just, you know, we need some air. And you know how Vegas is, Pine. So we go outside, and it was an outside place, Dick's Last Resort, maybe, I don't know. But it was an outside place across from the MGM, and it was sweltering. And we didn't even make it. We ordered our food, and then we had to go to the server because we both felt so bad. We're like, we got to go. Sorry. Can't eat outside. So we went, ate inside. Then we went to the place and got totally revitalized. And I felt great. You know, they had the bags of stuff and it, you know, with the, all that kind of stuff, all the good goodies and stuff in it. They stick the needle in you. They let it roll for like half hour. They put the cold stuff on your eyes. You lay down. I felt like brand new. My wife couldn't do it. She went back in the room. She's like, no, can't do it. And so I went down to the Kentucky Derby. Bunch of friends were in there. We started drinking again and it was fine. But yeah, one of the worst hangovers and hottest days was in Vegas. And I remember walking outside going, oh my God, like I'm never going to make it. That's not your caboose pistol. Cocaine helps too. all right. Two things. I'll do the picture first and then I got a video for you. Is this real? I saw this yesterday and it was pretty funny. The joke was his family wanted to have an intervention and he's like, hey man, I only buy a case of beer a week. What's the big deal? And there's the case, 99 cans of PBR. You have to question everything nowadays and it sucks. Because with AI, it's like AI pictures, AI video, AI. So you could easily say to AI or whatever, hey, make me a PBR 99 pack. Because seriously, you'd need like five people to carry that out. And maybe that's real. Maybe it's not. But I don't know that I've ever heard of a 99 pack. And I was too lazy to look it up. But a 99 pack of PBR. And, you know, PBR is kind of a novelty thing. You go into like a, you know, hole in the wall bar and you order a PBR, whatever. Can we be honest? PBR is horrible. I mean, it tastes like ass. It's terrible. I know what you're going to do. Whoa, ass. I didn't know ass tastes like. Terrible. I mean, terrible. But anyway, I don't know if that's real or not, but there's 99 packs of PBR, so I do think that's funny. Never seen a 99 pack. Don't know what a 99 pack would cost of PBR. Have no idea. I guess I should have looked that up, but I didn't. So there you go. 99 pack of PBR. Is that real? That's number one. And then number two, this was in Colorado, but I've seen this happen in Tahoe as well. Bear gets into like an SUV here and shreds this thing, shreds it. And here's what's crazy too. If I'm that cop, police officer, he actually ties something to the door and it's like, I wouldn't even get near that door. But anyway, here's a guy who gets his vehicle shredded by a bear who got into his car because obviously he had food in there. And then the thing gets stuck in there. And this is in Colorado.
So I'll just tie it to the door handle.
Up here?
I'll go up there or back over here and we'll just pull it open and he can run out.
Right. See, I'm not doing this. Like, your car is not worth it. Like, that thing pops out right there, breaks through the window, sees you, gets pissed, like, hears that noise, freaks out.
All right, yeah. Is it unlocked?
Good time to ask that. Wait till you see the inside of this car.
Ready? Come on.
I'd get further back. Yeah, no kidding, bear. I see it.
Hold on. Your car is destroyed.
That bear was not happy being in there. He wanted the food. Look at that thing. Shredded. Move your fat arm, dude. Look at that thing. Take a picture of it.
Important to lock your cars and keep...
keep all the food out. That car is trashed. Anyway, Colorado. Just a public service announcement. You might want to not keep food in your car in the forest, because then a bear could get in your car and shred your car. And that's exactly what happened. By the way, PBR, hold my, let's see, just PBR is the equivalent of Justin Verlander. The 1-420, thanks for looking it up. Available in 15 states. Is California one of the states? Not that I don't need a 99 pack, but I will say this, that'd have been pretty cool for 4th of July. You get a 99 pack and you just, you know, throw it all on ice. 99. I don't think your friends would be 99 beer on the wall, 99 bottles of, I don't know that your friends would be happy if they came over and you had PBR. Like, haha, look at me. I have 99 cans of PBR. It's like, nah, I brought my own. That's, you know, come on. That's not any good. How does that fit in your car? That's a good question. Oh, you're talking about the PBR. Yeah. No way. No, $14.99? It can't be $14.99. Can't be $14.99. It's true. My wife just looked it up. What's the cost on it? $4.20. Can't be $14.99, can it? I mean, how much is that a beer? Again, I could do that on my phone right now, but I'm not going to do it. I'm too lazy. Come on, somebody give me the price on that, and then we can all get out of here. Hold on. Jeez, what is with my phone right now? It's going crazy. Yeah, that can't be right. That can't be right. So anyway, yeah. Yeah, 15 cents, but that's not going to happen. That's $14.99 bourbon. Yeah, exactly. You can pour out the beers and just get the aluminum if you're buying it for that. So anyway, there you go. All right. 175? 175? Is that true? 175 for, yeah, I guess that's like a couple bucks a beer. Yeah, I could see that. A couple bucks for a PBR, though. I mean, I'd say that 99 beers for 99 bucks, right? That's a dollar a beer. I mean, that's about what it's worth. That's to me. I mean, if you're selling 99 cans of PBR, then it's worth 99 bucks. I mean, that's what it is. There's no way. I'd do 99 bucks, $99.99 for 99 beers. That's a dollar a beer of PBR. That's fair. But it's probably not what it is. All right, that is episode 183. Just checking in on you post July 4th. Glad everybody had a wonderful day. Thank you to the supers from Nathan today. Vrock gave us a couple of supers. Thank you so much, Vrock, for that. Christopher, thank you so much for your super. Appreciate it. Very, very nice of everybody to congregate today for episode 183. Just real quickly, how was the 4th? Everybody seemed to have a good day. 11, except for the Giants. 11-2 lost to the A's. Verlander remains winless. And yesterday, lived up to that win list. Bailey's 4Ks in an error. I'm just saying, we got to start talking about it. His defense is so bad his offense is so bad that it's overshadowing the defense. It's not going to happen this year, but they certainly have to have a conversation about it next year or next offseason. And I know Bob Melvin, catcher, Buster Posey, catcher, they know the value of it, but he's so bad. And last night with the 4 strikeouts, and he just looked indifferent being up there, swinging at first pitches. He looked like a pitcher. Like, I just, please get me back in the dugout. I don't want to be here. Matt Chapman is back today. A trade is needed, probably for a number 3 starter. Rays All-Star Game case, because we didn't do a show yesterday, gets that complete game, second of his career. He should be going to the All-Star Game. JK latest, I think the best match for Jonathan Kuminga for both sides. And remember, this is where they traded Jordan Poole, is Washington. They got some veterans and young players. I think that JK's place could be Washington. And they could replace Poole and just, you know, with no conscience, just try to score. 49ers soon. We're not going to sit here and talk about the Giants being shitty all the time. Random stuff happens, and a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol of 99 pack of PBR. And the guy.
So I'll just tie it to the.
and the bear got in there and shredded his car. Part of today's sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. I think that is it. Remember, if you've got comments, questions, thoughts, you're watching the show a little bit later, hit me on the comments section. I'll get back to you on those. I'm always on X at John Lund Radio. Thank you for watching on X today. Thank you for watching on Instagram as well. You can all come over to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please make sure you subscribe. Hit us with the like before you get out of here as well, and keep those alerts on when we send stuff out. Hey, maybe there'll be a trade today. Who knows? And we always go live for specialty shows on that. Make sure you join Bay Area Sports Collective. That's that Big B. That's me, Tom Tolbert, Polymax Particles with Creative Tony. That is Rod Brooks. That is Amy G. That's also former Giant Jeremy Affelt, Bay Area Sports Collective. Bunch of different YouTube shows on that. And I think that's it today. Make sure that you see my good friend, as I always tell you, my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. He is going to make you feel better. My wife is doing the stem cell. I am doing the low T, and he does all sorts of other things that are going to make you feel better and look better, man, woman, whatever the case may be. Check it out. Check it out. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. You can either hit that QR code, or all you got to do is Google it. Your favorite search engine, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle at R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, fine sponsor of the program. Anything else today? It's great to see everybody today. If I did not say hello, hello, hello. Great to see you, man. Happy Saturday. Had a good time as always. Oh, of course, man. This isn't working. This is really not working. I'm just trying to get a few things together for the show so that it's... Oh, okay. There you go. 175 in California, 59 in Canada. 175. That's like $2 a beer. How much is a PBR in a bar? $4 or $5? I would have thought, you know, you buy the 99 pack, you got to haul it out to your car. That should be like $2 a beer. That should be like $99. 175. Oh, Chef's got it too. 175. Nah, no way. Not doing that for 175. $99 for 99 beers. That's fair. That should be the promotion. That's brutal. That is brutal, man. All right. All right. Yeah. Should be $100. $100. No doubt. Should be $100. All right. Great stuff today. Thank you for hanging out with me. 149. I'm thinking 99 for 99. I think that should be the promotion, but what do I know? I don't know anything. All right. Great stuff today. Thanks for hanging out for episode 183. Everybody have a wonderful Saturday. I'll speak to you Monday at 9 a.m. for the regular show. But remember, if things break over the weekend, whether it be today, tomorrow, whatever, we always send out stuff. So make sure you have those alerts on. Hit us with a like. And make sure you're subscribed if you're watching somewhere else like X or Instagram or anywhere else. Please make sure you tell all your friends and enemies so that we can grow the show and grow the community. Thanks. Have a great Saturday, everybody, and a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!